Good afternoon and welcome to you all. Sorry that we're a little bit late in starting, but you all seem to be reacquainting yourselves with each other and enjoying yourselves. Thank you all for coming. Well, welcome to this auspicious occasion when we celebrate the 60th anniversary of Southcote Christian Mission and Southcote Family Church. First, we have a few safety notices. In case of fire, please follow the fire exit signs and convene in or near the car park. Toilets are down this corridor here, and the disabled toilet is in the foyer. And I think that's about it for that. Also, in the foyer, there's a book for you to enter your memories of this church. Please do. And there's also a donation box. All the offerings collected this weekend will be for the work of Torch and the pantry, which are situated in this church and in Southcote. So thank you in advance for anything you donate towards those offerings. So welcome to you all today, and thank you for joining us. Special welcome this afternoon to our first two pastors, Alistair and Dave. Also welcome to Senga, and we also have happy memories of Kath. It would be not right to not mention Kath at this time for all the work she did in this church and in the community. Also, Dominic and Watty are coming, but we've had an email or a text message with an ETA of 3:30. They're stuck in the traffic. So they will be arriving later. Thank you also for the local councillors. John Ennis is with us, and we thank the councillors for all the support they give to this church whenever we have a special occasion. Debbie Edwards will be with us tomorrow. Finally, a special thank you to Sylvia and Christopher, son and daughter of Gordon, Taylor and Joan, who founded this church 60 years ago. It is really good to have you two with us today to remember the work that Gordon and Joan did here. Thank you. Unfortunately, due to declining health conditions, Phil and Sue Simmons are unable to be with us today, much to their and our great disappointment. Phil emailed us with a message this week, which I'll read out shortly. Incidentally, it was Sue's 80th birthday yesterday and their 50th wedding anniversary today, but they so much wanted to share those two occasions with us. Unfortunately, they can't. Linda is also a little bit unwell and thought it was inappropriate to come today, but she sends you all her wishes and she's hoping to be with us tomorrow. I'm certainly hoping she's with us tomorrow. So I'll read this email that Phil sent to Judy and myself on Thursday. We're very sorry not to be with you all this afternoon, as we were so much looking forward to celebrating God's faithfulness and goodness to the mission, as we still think of it, over the past 40 years. But as many of you will know from recent prayer change, neither of us is in a very good state of health at the moment. Please pray, we will soon improve. Thank you. We fondly remember joining this church back in 1981 and meeting with Gordon and Joan and a few others a week before Alistair, Senga and family arrived for Alistair to take up the role as the first pastor of the fellowship. We enjoyed very much the fruitful ministry with them, then with Dave and Kath when they came a few years later, plus of course with many others of our dear friends over the years, many of whom have now gone to be with the Lord. Phil served as an elder for many years and Sue as a deacon, and we have happy memories of all that, especially the wonderful growth in this church, particularly in the early years. We also recall great church holidays at Croyd in North Devon in the 1980s, wonderful fellowship weekends in the 1990s, particularly at Exmouth, brackets, except for the norovirus year. Also, the excellent and uplifting times at Spring Harvest at Skegness, plus superb family holidays in France with Graham and Linda and family in the 90s, and not forgetting Phil's walks with Dennis and the local Ramblers group, and lots of other great memories, of course, too many to mention. We hope and pray that the weekend goes well and there is much joyful celebration and food. May God bless you all and give thanks to God. And enjoy the ministry, excuse me again, of Alistair and Dave and many others. Thank you. Thank you so much. God bless. Love, Phil and Sue. And there's also a message in a card from Maureen. Now, some of you will remember in this church, Maureen is Pete's sister. She spends some time with us each year, and she was with us for 2 or 3 weeks back in June. And she really enjoyed her time with us. And she sends this message. To all my friends at Southcote Family Church, congratulations on your 60th anniversary. May you continue to build the house where love dwells. For the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ our Lord. With love, prayers and every blessing from Maureen. So our first song today is Thy Hand, O God, Has Guided, after which Ruth and Alistair will bring us prayers of thanks for the past, followed by Heather reading from 1 Timothy 3, verses 14 to 16. So let's stand if we can. Please.
Oh, I might have got this wrong today, but I got the impression that I'm here because I'm Ray Warner's daughter. I am Ruth Haynes, but I'm really here because I'm Ray Warner's daughter. And Judy wanted something about Dad. So I hope what I'm doing is okay and I'm not supposed to just do a quick prayer. Now, Dad was here for nearly 30 years, and he became an elder by the end, and he served in lots of ways. So at the time he came here, he was having a really difficult time, because my mum passed away in 1989, and she was only 63. And although she'd been ill, it was quite a shock, obviously, and sudden. And then a few months later, he was due to retire from all the years in the seed. I was going to call it the seed industry, but I suppose it's a seed business. And then on top of all that, he was having to close the church that he'd worked in for so many years. It was gradually becoming more and more evident that the church was not able to carry on. And that was very hard for him. He was a church secretary, and it was a long, long, drawn-out job. And they finally decided to close in 1992, and the last service was 1993. So he spent lots of time making it good, because that's what Dad did, having nice little services and singing and doing things. But it was a lot on top of no wife to go home to talk to. So he lost his wife for 40 years, his working life was over, his church was about to close. What next? What next was Southcote Christian Mission. He came here with Joan and Les Brant, which some of you remember, his sister and brother-in-law, who'd already become here. So February 1992 was the first time I can find in his diaries that he came here a couple of times. And then in the summer, with the decision that the church was closing, he came more regularly and he started to get involved. Now, those who remember my dad will know what PowerPoint presentation meant to my dad. It meant lots of bits of card, lots of Velcro and felt-tip pens and writing words. He spent hours writing words. He loved working with words and letters, taking letters off, putting letters on, using words. And one of the things he liked to do, especially as he got older, because I think it helped with his memory, he used letters. So he'd have a lot of words beginning with P or R or S, whatever, to illustrate his talk. So today I've got F's. F's. Which I think illustrate what I think Southcote Christian Mission meant to my dad. And the first one is family. He had the church family still there. He didn't lose complete of it. But he came here and found a new church family. Somewhere to belong. A Christian family. And that was so important. And he also found friendship. In particular, I want to mention a special friendship. And I'm glad Chris and Janet are here. It was May Waddell. And really, it was a little bit odd at times, but they were really good for one another. And there was mutual support and companionship. They served together at the library hall meetings, Edward Hughes, in all sorts of ways. They went on outings and holidays, and they were supporting one another. And maybe in some way it helped to bridge the gap that they both had because they'd lost their partners. So I'm really thankful for May, and he kept in touch with her when she moved to Gloucester, and we still visited sometimes, and even almost up to the day he passed away, they kept in touch on the phone. So he found family and friendship. And then the next one I thought was fun, which may sound funny, but I think it wasn't much fun closing a church. He often said that. It wasn't much fun having to close a church down that you worked in for years. And with the sadness of mum's dying and that. So when he came here, he found fun. There were children and young people here. There were things he could get involved in. And there were house parties and men's breakfasts I read about, and home groups, of course, and men's club. There were a lot of things he could do. And so he found fun. And there's pictures out there with him on. And along with fun came freedom. Freedom because he was under a lot of burden and a lot of pressure as he closed the other church. And when he came here, he was free. Free to be himself, free to serve God. So that's family, friendship, fun and freedom. And now, to be a bit more serious, I suppose, he began to get involved. And the first job he was asked to do by Dave, I don't know if he remembers this, was on the 21st of December 1992. And he went to see Dad, he says, 11 a.m, Dave Long. He did the washing first. Then it says, to see Dave Long about Edward Hughes. I to do the job. Pleased. And Dad, he never let grass grow on his feet. So we went straight round to Edward Hughes and spoke to them. That was a care home, for those who don't know. That's not there now. Edward Hughes care home. And then he went home and started typing out large print hymns ready for Edward Hughes services on his word processor. No computer then, it was a word processor. So that's what he did, his first big job. And it meant so much to him, I think. He suddenly had something to focus on, something positive. So he found fulfilment here in all sorts of ways. So putting that all together, family, friendship, fun, freedom and fulfilment, he had a future. When everything seemed like it was all lost and everything was finishing, he had a future. And then just one more F, and that's foundation. See, Dad did lots of other things, speaking, volunteering, but I believe that the mission, as we call it then, was a secure foundation for him from which he could continue to serve his Lord in so many ways as he lived out his faith. And as I said earlier, he was here for almost 30 years. He first came in February 1992, and the last time he sat just about there where Colin is was the beginning of January 2022, just 8 days before he passed away. Although he was very ill. He would have been here the day before he died if he could have done. But that's it. So he was here for almost 30 years. And I want to give thanks to God for what Southcote Christian Mission and Southcote Family Church gave to my dad when he needed it most. And the blessing it was for him for the rest of his life and all the opportunities he had as part of this family to serve God here. Just one thing before I say a little prayer. The church that Dad was closing was called Central Evangelical Church. Some of you might remember. It's where the Carey Centre is now. So it is still a Christian church, which is nice. But it was formerly the Hosier Street Congregational Methodist Chapel, was its title when it was in Hosier Street. But that had to be knocked down for the redevelopment, so they built a new church and they changed the name to Central Evangelical Church. And why it was particularly hard for Dad to close it was because that was the church his great-grandparents became members in 1863. And then their son, his grandfather, in 1878. And he served for 62 years in all sorts of ways, a bit like Dad, secretary and Sunday school superintendent and that. And then his own father served for 25 years until his early death. And then Dad. And Dad worked there for 36 years, and then it all went wrong. That was the church, though. I don't know what went wrong after that. All that family tradition, and then it all went wrong. But anyway, never mind. Anyway, I wrote a bit about that from this thing, 100 years of Hosier Street Congregational Methodist Chapel in 1854. I was there, I think. I was only... I don't remember it. 1954! The 100th anniversary! 1954, sorry. No, not quite that old. Anyway, I'm not supposed to be funny. Right, now, so there's a bit about that out in the display with the photos. Some of the words there that I thought were very encouraging in the back. Now, it's sad. Things happen that we don't understand. It was such a lovely church worked in a very deprived area in the 1800s around Hosier Street. It's quite interesting to read what they did. And after all those years of faithful service, for some reason it came to a place where they felt they had to close. And so that was very sad for Dad and sad. And it reminds us that things happen that we don't understand. And we've had things, lots in this church to be thankful for, to rejoice, wonderful memories. But along with that, there's been sadness, there's been difficulties, there's been confusing and troubling times, even in recent years. And we can't forget those. But today we give thanks for God's faithfulness and his amazing grace shown to us. The sadness of closing Central Evangelical Church for Dad resulted in him coming here. And he had a further long season of service and faithfulness. And for that, I give thanks. So I would just say a little prayer of thanks. Almighty God and our loving, gracious Father, I give you thanks for all the blessings my dad received from you in this place over so many years. I give you thanks for all who have found hope in the midst of despair, comfort in times of sorrow, friendship and companionship in times of loneliness and isolation. All who have been helped in the struggles of life in this place over the years. May that continue to be so because of your presence with us. Help us to continue to share your love with one another and those around us. To you be all the glory. Thank you for being a faithful God who has never abandoned us, who is always ready to forgive us and delights to return us to the right path when we wander away. So we ask your forgiveness for the times we've not got things right. Help us to become more and more the people you want us to be. We bring our grateful thanks today and acknowledge that we need your help as we face a challenging future in an increasingly uncertain and confusing world. Just some words based on a hymn we'll be singing later. Great is thy faithfulness, O God our Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning new mercies we see. All we have needed thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto us. Lord, hear this our prayer offered with thankful hearts. Amen.
Thanks, Ruth. Let's continue in prayer. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can join in praising you today together and together with those who are already in your immediate presence to celebrate your goodness and your grace through this church. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for Gordon and Joan, and for those who shared with them the initial vision for a Christian witness on Southcote Estate. Thank you for the early days, the outreach to children and families, and then the vision for building this place. Thank you for the faith to overcome so many barriers, and for the initial years of your rich blessing, bringing many young people to know you and building up a church. Thank you too that through times of adversity, you brought about new beginnings and have always brought new people in. Thank you for the wonderful providences we've already mentioned of Phil and Sue and Rebecca arriving just a week before we did here, and that we were able to join in with Chris and Sue and others who were here to start a new phase in the life of the church. Thank you for those who came to support, to work with us, to strengthen the hands of the faithful few, the people who carried on in the work here. Thank you for those who were, although we had so little, were able to open up their homes and have young men come and stay and work here, and that we had such a team of people here. Thank you for the humility of people like Gordon, who was willing to ask for help from another church, from Argyle, and for the people who you supplied. Because this is your work, Lord. And you have continued to bless this fellowship with people who you've brought from other places, as Ruth has just said, with Ray, but so many others who have come to share in the leadership at different times. But thank you too for the many who have faithfully served as part of the church in so many less obvious, but nevertheless vital ways. And so we thank you that we can be here together. Some of us who have served in leadership, Thank you for all the years that Dave and Kath were able to serve this church, and for those who came after, like Peter and James and Dominic and Henry. And we thank you that we're at this stage believing you, that you will want to bring new things for the good of your people and for the blessing of this community. Thank you that this has always been a place where the lonely could find a family, and that it always has been, as it now is called, a family church. But we thank you too that it has retained its vision for mission, and that this fellowship is here to be a light to Southcote. And so we pray that you will grant others who will carry on. Thank you for those who so faithfully carried on. I think particularly of dear Tom and Edna, who's here, and for the children's work that carried on, and for the youth work that carried on. And we praise you, Lord, that there will be not only the new beginnings that we're seeing with the pantry and other links into the community, but we believe you, Lord, that you will continue to send laborers into the harvest field. As you have been faithful in the past, we trust you for the future and give you praise, because this is your work, all you're doing, and all for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
The reading is from 1 Timothy 3, verses 14 to 16. Although I hope to come to you soon, I am writing to you these instructions so that if I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. Beyond all question, the mystery of godliness is great. He appeared in a body, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, and was taken up into glory.
Alistair and Heather, now hand over to Dave for the next part of our celebrations. Dave.
Well, there you are. What a good day. Celebrating the birthday of this lovely church. 60 years. Starting with that amazing Sunday school in the barn down Circuit Lane, for moving for a while to Southcote Primary School, this fellowship made its home on this site, in this building, floating on the old village pond, at the cost of £9,000. The opening day was the 17th of July 1965. I think there are some here who would remember that day. However, at that time, I just finished my second year at university. Full head of hair. Handsome, and heading for holiday in Greece. Eat your heart out, Ray Warner. H's, did you spot them? I never managed that. I get three P's and then end up with a Z. It never worked, but Ray always did. Well, little did I think that some 20 years later, God would lead me into the wonderful privilege and joy of becoming pastor of this great little church and serving here over with my darling Kath and Steph and Chris for so long. Today, we're looking back over those 60 years. We're sharing memories, and we're giving grateful thanks for all the Lord has done in and through this fellowship. As Ruth has pointed out, The path hasn't always been smooth, and we all know there have been some very rocky times. But God, as was reflected very clearly in Alistair's prayer and Ruth's prayer, God has continued to uphold and provide. 60 years. Okay, now the passage I've chosen for today's address is from Paul's letter to his protege and partner Timothy, and it presents us with three pictures of how God sees his church and how he wants us to see it. And I will suggest that these three pictures reflect what is in the very DNA of Southcote Christian Mission, Southcote Family Church, built in by its founders and continuing to this day. I want us to look at three emphases of life at the mission which have remained constant, though quality has varied from time to time. Let's look at the first. The first is the family life of the church. The household of God is the phrase there. God's family. That's how God sees his people. God is father of the family. Jesus is the elder brother. Believers are children, brothers and sisters to one another. That was family language that was very dear to our brethren founders. And it is an open and ever-growing family to all who believe. Those who believe in his unique son, Jesus, believe in his name, put their trust in what he did through his dreadful death on the cross. They enter into a new life. They're born into God's family and into a wonderful, warm and intimate relationship with the Almighty Creator and Sustainer of the universe, and that relationship will last forever. Here, they're fully forgiven, accepted, loved, transformed, and given an incredible hope for the future. Now, this is utterly amazing. This is how God sees his church and how he wants his family to be. Now, this is a biblical distinctive. There is no other religion that suggests for a moment that God relates to human beings in this way. God's family, then, is a family like no other, with family members in heaven and on earth, locally and all around the world. You could say, then, that it crosses space, time, and eternity. After all, it is the only family that will never die out. So, what the founders established here was a local expression of God's great family. And much has been done from the beginning to foster family life, family oneness. Caring for one another was an emphasis imprinted on this family right from the start. And you would see that kindness expressed right across the years through individuals giving generously with money, with time, with resources, with expertise. But there were also things structured into the life of this family to build strong, supportive relationships. I'm thinking here of, well, here's not an exhaustive list, but house parties, holidays, camps, weekends away, days away, social events, special meals, home groups, and so on. Now, I confess, my first experience of a house party was puzzling, to say the least. Buxton was the destination. But I found myself in the second minibus heading off down the M4 towards Wales. "Don't worry," said a voice behind me, Barbara Meebies. "Gordon probably knows of some lovely little tea shop where we can stop for a lovely couple." I learned a lot about Gordon on that. But on that house party, I was absolutely terrified. And what terrified me was the intensity of rivalry exhibited round the Scrabble board. Dennis Beale often found himself loudly contesting yet another of Gene Thompson's high-scoring two-word Scottish words. "No!" Yes. Guess who won? Dennis never did. On the first of the Croyd holidays, I instituted early morning walks. 7 o'clock. Wasn't mandatory. All the kids just had to go. Baggy Point was the destination, where there was an enormous telegraph pole. And everyone was challenged to shin up to the very top. I was among the many who chickened out. But behold, there to the front, strode mother of two, Sue Simmons, without a moment's hesitation, straight to the top. She did that every walk. Amazing. That was Sue. Now, sustaining and improving family life is very demanding. And that's why the wonderful graces of love, forgiveness, forbearance, and mercy are in constant demand. Emphasis number one, then, Southcote Christian Mission, Southcote Family Church, needs every family member, without exception, to go on playing their part, pulling their weight as a loving child, first and foremost, of their Heavenly Father, second, as a loyal follower of their Saviour, elder brother, and thirdly, as a supportive brother and sister of the rest of the church. Okay, emphasis number two, the worship life of the church. So the family of God is the church of the living God. Now the word church is about a gathering of people, and it's a formal gathering, almost like a business meeting. Someone summons them and they come for an important reason. And the idea of God's people gathering is there in the Old Testament. Most modern ways of translating it is a sacred assembly. If you lived in Athens around 400 BC, an assembly was a gathering. It would be called by the city elders, and an issue would be discussed, a vote would be taken. That was the job of the gathering, the assembly of the citizens of Athens. Early Christians used their word, assembly, as the word for church, ecclesia, and that's another word that was so precious to our brethren founders. So, whenever this church gathers, it is gathering as the assembly of the living God. And although the leaders set the dates, times, and venues, it gathers because the family members are summoned by God on God's business. And that business is worship. On this day especially, we are here to pay homage, to exalt, to praise, honour and adore our great and wonderful Father God. To bow the knee to our splendid King and to express our gratitude and thanksgiving, to rejoice in his presence. We worship the living God. And so the privilege and responsibility of responding to his summons to gather as his people on his business is even greater. The Bible writers use that phrase, the living God, to underline that the God we worship, the Father we honour, is the one, true, the only, the present and active, the real God. Well, right from the beginning, there have been three obvious markers of worship in this church of the living God. And the first is the family meal. The breaking of bread, the communion. Every Sunday morning, then every Sunday evening, unless there was a family communion in the morning, in home groups, in homes, big numbers, small numbers. It's only in very recent years that that family celebration has been held every other Sunday morning. The gathering then of God's family to remember, celebrate and draw strength and encouragement from the central truth of the Christian faith has been a major focus of worship in this family. This ensured that the awesome beauty and power of the cross of Jesus, the inestimable price paid for the salvation of undeserving, sinful people in the agony of the loving, crucified Saviour. That stayed at the heart of this family. How many times has "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus" been sung in this church? Innumerable. One of Gordon's favourite choruses that he used to choose regularly was "Such Love, Pure as the Whitest Snow. Such Love, Oh Jesus, Such Love." Now the second marker is the Scriptures. Now the Bible, in my experience, there's never been a gathering here when the Bible has not been opened, read, and most often preached. Foundational then to all the activity here has been the desire to learn more of our Father, our Saviour, our faith, our way to live, and the true source of that has been the Bible. Everyone has been encouraged to read and study the Scriptures. Home groups have played a big part in this, as has the use of individual Bible study aids, the Bible. The third marker is prayer. Some of you may remember the Reading-wide outreach called Thames Valley Alive, in which this church played the leading part on this estate. I remember, as leaders were gathering here for a prayer meeting, that a C of E minister who'd never been in this place before, on entering, stood just where Pete is there, in that door there, and he stopped, and he paused, and then he said to everybody, "There has been many a prayer sent up in this place." Prayer has been a significant element of family life, both in full church meetings, home groups, in personal devotions. For many years, everyone has had a prayer calendar to make sure everybody in the family is remembered in prayer at least once a month by everybody else. And in addition, notifications of particular and immediate needs have been circulated by a telephone prayer chain. Here are the three markers, then: communion, the Bible, and prayer. Emphasis number two calls on every family member to join regularly in worship, to grow in knowledge of the Scriptures, and to grow their relationship with Jesus in prayer. I've only got 14 more points. The third emphasis, the gospel life of the church. God's family, God's gathered people are, there's the phrase, the pillar and bulwark of the truth. Now, individuals and nations parade their monarchs, heroes and notable folks on pillars, don't they, for all the world to see. I was once in Trafalgar Square and I heard a tourist say, "So where is he?" "He was up there." "But he's up there. Nelson was up there." For everybody to see, admire and say, "There is a hero." That's what you've got to admire. Christians have the responsibility to hold the truth right up there, proudly put it on display so that no one can miss it. And what is that truth? Well, it's there in that strange phrase, the mystery of godliness. Now, the word mystery to us means a puzzle that we've got to try and solve, but in the Scripture, its commonest meaning is revelation, something we'd only know and understand if God told us. So, the revelation Paul is talking about here leads those who follow it into true godliness, true relationship with God, and true godly behaviour. Now, what follows is believed by many experts to be a quotation either from an early Christian hymn or an early Christian creed, statement of faith. The mystery of godliness, the truth that has been revealed to us, that we are to put up on a pillar, is Jesus. Not Nelson, Jesus. He is the supreme revelation of God. And those next six lines summarize great Christian truth claims about Jesus. It's pretty much an outline of the gospel, the good news. Study them for yourself and see Jesus there. Can you see? He entered this world as a human being, God in the flesh, Christmas. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit at his baptism. He was empowered throughout his life by the Holy Spirit. He was proved to be God through the same Spirit by his resurrection. Angels, the messengers of heaven, heralded his birth, attended him in his 40 days of temptation, strengthened him in the Garden of Gethsemane, and announced his resurrection and explained his ascension and return. Amazingly then, the Jewish Messiah was proclaimed as the Lord and Savior of all, non-Jews as well as Jews. The world, as John the Baptist said, behold the Savior of the world. Faith in Jesus has gone round the world, and Jesus sits enthroned in heaven, waiting his day of his return. So this family, this church of the living God, has been putting the truth about Jesus on public display from the very first. That's what lies behind its first name. Say the third word, Southcote Christian Mission. That's your task, church. Put Jesus up there where everyone can see and come to know and love and follow. Now that is a constant challenge. Because you see, you can't just have the pillar up there, you've got to have the buttress, you've got to support it, you've got to make sure it doesn't fall down. And the way that we are to buttress that truth is that we are to do it by the way we live. Rick Warren, think about this, you may not get it first time, but think about this when you go home. Rick Warren said, there are two reasons why people don't become Christians. Either they have never met a Christian, or they have met a Christian. Think about it. Right, now Christianity spread very quickly across the Roman Empire, and according to scholars, there are two main reasons. The first is that what appealed to the Roman people was that through faith they came into a direct personal relationship with God. They had no more need of priests, temples, sacrifices, nothing like that. The second is that what impressed them about the Christians was that during the many times of famine over that 400 years of the Roman Empire there, well, times of famine and plague, well, most of the pagans as could fled to the supposed countryside for safety, Christians visited and cared for the sick. Whether Christian or not, they shared their food, they shared their resources, often at the risk and even the cost of their own lives. Now, these two aspects of gospel life, putting the truth up there, buttressing it with service to the community, have been in this church, set in this church from the earliest days. Now, there have been many initiatives to impact the estate with the good news, literature distribution, on one occasion giving out free videos of the Jesus story. We've worked with other churches in this too, both before and after Southcote Alive came to birth. There have been invitations to events, concerts, musicals, dramas, courses like the Alpha Course and Exploring Christianity. Children and young people's work has seen many members of this church give time, love and prayer to encourage children of all ages to come to love Jesus. You've heard all about Ray Warner. Ray Warner worked for years with me in the 7 to 11's children's club on a Friday. And he was so loved and treasured by those children. And he was fully involved, even though he gave me a few years of his age. We've had an active presence with Manor School assemblies. We've been supporting staff at Prospect. And some of the holiday clubs have seen spectacular efforts by people here. For the King's Club, this room was turned into a medieval banqueting hall with shields. Children, when they came in, saw shields, swords, spears, armour all over the place. They went into another world better than Disney. And that was a huge project, mainly choreographed by Paul Welsh. And when it comes to serving the community, who can forget the magnificent contribution of our dear Fumi to Enquire? I'm so glad we've got David sitting here, David Horn. David, he buttressed that work. Fumi was right at the front of it, but she was amazing. And is it still going on, David? Enquire? Oh, I'm desolate. Right, okay. But that was a wonderful... And then many others to the wonderful but sadly short-lived Jubilee Cafe. Both ventures undertaken with other churches on the estate. CCA has had many of this fellowship on its staff and even part of its leadership. Working with other churches, both in Southcote Alive and churches beyond, has been important, as has been the support to us of those churches. Particular mention must be made of Argyle Chapel, whose practical and financial gifts helped us recover from an especially difficult period. And our relationship with Kennet Valley Free Church has been a special treasure for many years now and continues. From the beginning, there have been any number of coffee mornings, lunches, meals, and open invitations for whoever would come. Mother and toddler was highly valued for donkey's years, it seemed to me, by those who brought their little ones and by professional agencies who pointed needy parents, said, "You need help, go to that mother and toddler's. That's a good one." And in all of this, we had the gracious support, as has been mentioned, of our local councillors, notably Debs and John, who is here, and Debs will be tomorrow, and until his death, Pete Roman. This has been a fellowship noted for its amazing generosity and its financial giving. And that has been directed both to organisations whose primary aim is to share the good news, put the truth up there on the pillar, and to those whose primary aim is to share the good news by bringing relief both internationally and locally. Emphasis 3 calls every family member here to be proud of Jesus, to talk of him. Back up their talk, both with lives consistent with what they say and with a concern for the community expressed in generous giving and service. I reckon I've put together a pretty impressive catalogue of what's been going on in this church over these 60 years. It's not exhaustive. It couldn't be. My memory couldn't sustain... Sorry, what's the day? Couldn't put everything there. But this little church has made a big impact. It's fought way beyond its weight. But let me make it plain. This is not about boasting about people. Though much credit should go to them. The sole aim of today has been to highlight our rejoicing and thanksgiving what God has been doing and we pray will continue to do in what at times looked like a very wobbly little church. To him be the glory. Three emphases: worship life, family life, worship life, gospel life. Southcote Family Church, go on with your mission in the strength of the Lord. We have a lovely hymn of thanksgiving now, and I invite you to stand to sing, and Mari is going to come and sign for us. Lord, for the years your love has kept and guided, please stand to sing. Thank you. our founders taught us, all God's people said,
Amen.
That was feeble. All God's people said,
Amen.
That's better. You may sit down. Now you will see that the next section is where we have an opportunity to share memories. Obviously, it'll be great if you're able to stay for refreshments, and then you can meet up with, I was about to say old faces. Perhaps I ought to say old faces from the past, and you can get and chat and catch up on things. But we're going to have the opportunity for whoever should wish, it's as broad as the gospel, look, whoever should wish to share their a memory or an appreciation. Now, I know, looking around me, there are those who love to stand at the front. And so that's why that stand mic is there. And I'm going to invite those who are happy to stand and speak through that mic. And then after that, what I'll do is I'll bring the mic round and I'm going to keep a tight hold on that mic. Editorial power rests with Dave Long. Right, so if there are those of you, and I know, oh, there's a young man named Dominic who's made it. Who's made it? So, one of our former pastors, Dominic, I invite you to come to a place that you know very well to share some memory, some appreciation of this church. Thank you, Dominic.
The hugs is at the front door, by the way.
Oh, sorry, Dave.
No, you've got
him. Yeah, lovely to see you all. Good to be back and see some familiar faces. Hi. Good to be catching up a little bit later over tea, coffee, and cake. There's tea, coffee, and cake. Right, good. Okay, I'll be quick. Literally 10 years ago, I came here, was accepted as your pastor for Southwark Christian Mission, it was such a warm, welcoming place to be, and I've treasured that a lot in my heart, and for Wattie as well. I think one of the biggest memories I have, of course, because I was such a shrinking violet and very shy, as you know, but I was, because I used to hide in my office where it says private there. And when there was toddlers here during the week, I would go, right, yeah, they're still out there, you know, ear to the door, glass, listening, yeah. And Judy suggested, you know, why don't you come out and maybe just talk to a few people? I mean, you know, mums with kids, you know, so I was a bit nervous. But anyway, I came out, I started talking to people, we got to know them. And then Judy said, would you like to read a story? Read a story to kids. Yeah, okay, we can try that. So, you know, rush through. She taught me how to hold a book properly and go through. I still use that skill. And I remind people where I don't remind them because they don't remember my memories. But I tell them, this is where I learned it. This is, you know, Jude. I mentioned Judy's name. And I say, yeah, she taught me how to do this. So don't criticize. You have Judy to answer for. And eventually we built some relationships, and eventually that developed into what we called Messy Church. I don't know if you remember Messy Church. Who still has their T-shirt? Yeah. I don't know if you... I mean, we could barely fit in them when they arrived. I mean, medium what? Stick? You know, it was mad. I had my bright yellow one. Everybody else had blue, so everybody knew who was in charge. No. It was great fun. We got to know people, got to know the community. Another great privilege of mine, and I really shouldn't talk too long, is the opportunity to share with other churches as well. Before actually starting here, I remember going along to each church building on the estate, and I saw vicarage, way to vicarage, and my goodness, it's a long walk, isn't it? You know, it's like, oh, round the back of the church. Am I trespassing now? I had to go around, knock on the door and said hello to Pads, who was there. And, to introduce myself. They invited me in. Wow, that's friendly. So that was really nice. And then, of course, getting to know at United Reform as well, Rob there. And it was just nice. Southcote Alive being together, working together, community action, getting to know the community association, which was really great fun to be part of that, and our May Day stuff. So yeah, it's been really great. It's been great to come back and see you all. No doubt we'll catch up soon. But one of the greatest privileges, for me is to be able to serve. And I think that is the key for any pastoral ministries. You know, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if you remember my name or what I've done, but do you remember Christ? And that's what's got to come through in all that we say and do. It's Christ, and in Christ alone we stand. So thank you. Look forward to catching up with you soon. It's lovely to be back. Thank you, Dave.
Thank
God
you,
bless
Dave.
You.
Thank you, Dave. I mentioned our councillors, and John is sitting there. I'd love John to come and speak. We really have benefited from our councillors down the years, and John has been one of the strongest advocates of this church. Thank you, John.
I made some notes because I want to prepare. It's an absolute privilege to be here to celebrate 60 years of the Southcote Family Church. I mean, I'm a season ticket holder at Reading FC, and they've got a big game today. Spurs at home, sold out, but I tell you what, there's no choice to be here. Absolutely no choice at all. And it's absolutely brilliant. It's a great invite, and I'm so pleased to be here. I mean, I think it's so important to profess your faith. As a person of faith, Christ's teachings transcend politics. It transcends everything. The gospel values are needed more than ever. As someone who lives and breathes the secular world as a probation officer and my day job and in a local council in Southcote, gospel values and Christian values are needed more than ever before. Needed more than ever before. And it's out there, and people want to hear what you've got to say and we've got to say, because for the last 60 years and for the work that I've done, and I'm a councillor now for nearly 23 years, you've provided hope to the community, you've scrutinised and monitored those in power, and you've provided forgiveness, mercy, but also role models to show how it's done, and you've done that for your 60 years, working well together with the other churches, as it's been said, Dave. Was a fantastic, I can remember some of the times and the things that you've done for the community of Southcote. You are the beacons of Southcote, and you are the conscience of the community. You provide a conscience for those who are out there, working tirelessly to support the community, be it with the pantry. And I'm so upset that it went from Southcote Community Hub, but I know why it's here. It's fantastic. Saw it last Tuesday. Absolutely amazing. Working with local schools, and we went out for the litter pick with Manor on Thursday. Was brilliant. Working with the health service as well, which is very, very important for the community. You are so valuable to Southcote, and you are role models for the secular world. And I'm really here today just to say thank you for all that you've done for Southcote community, and best wishes for the next 60 years, which I know will be brilliant. And God bless you. Thank you.
Now, if you would be one of those who would be happy to speak from here, would you just put your hand up and I'll call you up in turn? Now, don't rush. Shrinking violet, I know who you are. Come on, collar. Collar, please. I used to be a teacher, by the way. Now, collar.
Yeah.
Not Nigerian time. and not Nigerian length. Okay,
Amen.
Thanks, collar. Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's a joy to be here again. Thank you, Dave, for volunteering me. Southcote Mission has been a wonderful home for us as a family. My wife came, I think it was 1 hour early, during one of the services, and met Dave, trying to change, I don't know whether it was that clock or another one.
They arrived an hour early because the clocks were wrong. So they were sitting there, all three of them, And I saw that, and I didn't notice them, so I got a chair, and I just about put it right. Thank you. Thank you, Colin.
And honestly, that was one of those things. And when she found out that that was the pastor, she said, wow, if the pastor will come and do this, then this is the church to attend. And honestly, we have found this place a place to serve with godly people. So many godly men and women that we have served alongside and who have shaped their lives over the years that we've been here. Everywhere we went, we have always told people that when we are talking about our home church in the UK, it's South Provision. It's a place where we have been blessed, a place where we have been packed for greater work all over the world. So thank you so much, South Provision. I hope that wasn't African time.
Well done, Colin. Is there anyone else who would like to come and use the front? Yes, thank you, Anne.
I absolutely loathe microphones, so don't worry. I want to say thank you to this church, because this church gave me life. 40-odd years ago, I came in that door. A very new Christian in a terrible state. Alistair will verify that, I'm sure. My life was broken. And for the couple of so years before I came here, I tried to die. And I really did, because I didn't want to live. But this church gave me life. I am so grateful to this church. To many people today who are still in glory. The Steery Dewhursts, Les and Gladys Days. You all remember them, those of my age, who loved me, who cared for me. Alistair, Dave got alongside me and gave me life. And it wasn't just life. My life has been truly amazing, and I'm not going to say anything more about it much, but I've been and done things in my life, I hate microphones, that I never dreamt possible. I want to thank you, church, because I wouldn't be alive if it hadn't been for you today. So thank you. This is a church that gives people lives. I'm living proof.
Thank you. Thank you, Denise. Thank you, Denise.
So lovely to be here and see so many familiar faces. I'm Joan Bullion's daughter. Mum, we knew of this church before I knew of you, this church. Mum came here and just, again, found so much love and so much support. And she never expected to meet anyone. She was very happy on her own. She loved this church, had a lot of support. And then she met Bill. And I'm sure a lot of you remember Bill and the meals that he used to do. And it was such a family here. We heard all these stories about you all. And Bill became a Christian through Mum and you guys and the leading of Dave and Kathy. And it was a glorious, oh, I'm going to cry. It was a glorious day when they were married here. And yeah, I just want to thank you all. And even the support that the church has shown Mama in her final days, and Judy has been such a support to me. So thank you, everybody. It's just lovely to be here.
Thank you. Eric, thank you.
Say actually, thank to be you, honest, but yeah, many years ago now, because I've not been here for a long while. My wife and I moved up north, back to the same area where she originally came from. But for many years, while our children were growing up, from being toddlers, the toddler group here. And being regular attenders at the service, and the kids being accepted just as members, just the same as we were. That was always the important thing. The kids weren't an addition. The kids were part of the church, not just considered as something we've got to look after until they're old enough. And it always seems to me that this place is accepting, because it accepts everyone from where they are, and then takes them on.
Thank you. Thank you, Eric. Right. Cynthia? Oh, sorry. Was it you, or were you pointing at this man? No. Oh, I see. Right, well, you can come and speak, Cynthia. Yeah, well, it will be your usual brevity.
Now, Anne, who's just come up here, she reminded me of when I first came to Toddlers, and she was very much, oh, there's all this blessing here, and she was touching my hand, and I thought, oh, I've come to Toddlers here. I haven't come for all this rubbing of hands and holding. I have told you that before, I'm sure. Yes? Do you remember? You do? Are you sure? Right, okay. But no, I've come to play with, well, play with toys. No, not me, my kids. And my son used to jump around those stairs there, and he didn't bother with the toys, but when he came to finish, he was, oh, I can't go because I can't play with this or this or this. Now, as time went on, I got very comfortable here. Is that the right word? Yeah, I started coming to coffee morning, sometimes with the children, and then Sunday school helping. And I was baptised here. Yeah, still here,
yes,
isn't it?
Phil
baptised me because he was encouraging me to come to this church. And I just moved in this area and I went to a doctor's and he was my doctor. And he was telling me about this church up the road where he worshipped. And there again, I thought, well, no, I've come because I want to register here as a new patient. I don't want to hear about the mission or what Southcote Family Church, whatever it was called. Anyway, time went on and here I was. Here I was doing this, doing that, doing pratting about as well. But it done me a lot of good in the end. And it hasn't finished yet. But I know if I'd have never come here, I'd have never learnt a lot of things. And I would have never thought of myself up here speaking. Is that all right?
That's fine, yeah, okay. Cynthia.
Thank you very much.
Right. You're supposed to be feeding in 4 minutes' time. I'm declaring that will be delayed. I'm going to give now three more people who have something they would like to say, either to come to the front or put their hand up, and I will bring them the microphone to them. So three more people, please, indicate if you have something you'd like to share. Thank you, Stephen. Thank
you. I just want to say a simple thank you to all of you here at Southcote Family Church. I'm the community pastor at Norcott Mission Church. I've been there just over 10 years now. And the one thing that I can say to you all is that your church here has been a real blessing to Norcott over the years. And I'm talking back even beyond my time. We've really appreciated the support that we've had from speakers here over the years. And thinking of people like Alistair, Tom, Dave, and Ray as well, who came along regularly to our neighbours group as well. So as somebody moving from Scotland to Reading, beginning here over 10 years ago, it was great to have the support from Southcote Family Church here and to be on the receiving end of their support and encouragement and ministry. And particularly Dominic, in my last years studying at Moorlands College, cheering me on. That was really appreciated. So I just want to say thank you on behalf of Norcott Mission Church. And just to assure you of our ongoing thoughts and prayers as you move forward into all that God has for you here, as you continue to serve him and reach out into this local community. The Lord bless you and expand your reach in the coming months.
Thank you, Stephen. Two more slots. No Heathrow circling. Two more slots. If not, I will share three very brief ones. Sorry? Three? This is a lady who believes in miracles. With her, the impossible is always possible. Right. The first is my very first day as pastor of this church, when I met with Alistair in the morning for study and prayer, and then he took me out to visit. And I remember two of those visits in particular. The first was to Barbara Meeby. I don't think Ernie was there at the time. And then to Madge Wensley. That's going way back, for Madge Wensley. Now, moving from teaching to being pastor of this, or assistant pastor then of this church, was a big step. But I went home after that first day, and I said to Kath, this is right. Second, to have been a friend of Tom Hamblin. I'm going to chuckle. To have been a friend of Tom for as long as I was absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. Those who knew Tom knew an exceptional, godly man. He was incredible. And there's Edna, and look who's come to help me.
He's got the well-being.
Thank you, thank you. So that's my second one. And my third one reflects something of that. And that is that across all my years in this church, I have served with an amazing array of wonderful, godly leaders. I learned so much from Gordon and from Joan. I learned so much from Alistair. I had Paul there for many, many years. I had Phil Simmons there. I go on through the years with Ray Warner and so on, even to the present day with Judy and the rest of the team. And that is essential for anybody seeking to serve a church, is to know that what they've got around them is a good, supportive and encouraging group of leaders. And that's been very special for this church, and I am very, very grateful. So thank you. The impossible you have witnessed. But now we have, I'm sure this must have been sung how many times, right back from the beginning of the church, that hymn that Ruth quoted, "Great is thy faithfulness." That is what this day is about. Great is thy faithfulness. Please stand, and I don't want the roof to remain on this building much longer. Thank you.
Thank you.
please sit down. And Judy is going to come now and lead us through to the end of our time together before we have refreshments. Thank you, Judy.
Well, it's absolutely wonderful to see so many people here. And until the memory giving and all those things that have been said about this place, I was fine. But now I'm actually not so sure. It's just so wonderful to hear all the things that have been said. And I feel so privileged to have been here for 40 years and for our sons to have been given that opportunity to be here with some other young people. Well, they're not all so young now, but they were then. And to see some of those here today as well is lovely. I was baptised here. Dave made me wait for 2 years before I could be baptised because he knew that then I was quite an emotional person and he wanted to make sure that it was really what I wanted. I've been so privileged to have worked, and I say worked because it is work, with so many people and served on the leadership here for many years now. And with Dave and Dominic, I've enjoyed lots of... I don't know, what was I, a little bit of a PA to Dominic, I think, wasn't I? Pardon? Manager. I was your manager. Okay. And I taught you how to read to toddlers. That's fine. I know my place.
I have a mini version of you talking in my ear every day.
Oh, you poor thing. That's not good. But no, honestly, it's just, I've just had so much, I don't know. Love for this place and fun, and it still keeps giving me pleasure, and now it gives me more excitement, I think, than it ever has done. If you're coming tomorrow, you'll hear a bit more about this, but just to say that it's been a rocky time, and we were not expecting to be left without a pastor at the end of last year. But since then, things have happened. People have come through the door during prayer meetings and have broken down in front of us, and we've been able to pray with them. We've had people coming in the door for coffee and chat, maybe, and Sunday services. But we also have had the pantry, as you've heard about, and Communicare, which is not quite Enquire, but it's similar. Communicare help people as well. But as I said, more of that tomorrow. Really, only I came up just to say a prayer. Anyway, but thank you so much. It's just been wonderful. And I have to say a little bit word about John, because he did give up going to a really good football match today. And what was so pleasing to me was that he didn't say, oh, yeah, I'll be there. But he said, thank you so much for inviting me, and I'm so excited to come. Both days, he's coming tomorrow. So we hope to see a lot of you here tomorrow as well. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that the past 60 years have given us. The good times when we've enjoyed smooth running of this church. But we also thank you that through the challenging times, you have always been there for us. And now, as we look forward to what the future holds, we remember words from Isaiah 52. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. And yes, Lord, we see things that you're doing in this church, things that we can now build on for the future. So we thank you for today and the joy of seeing this church full of friends, old and new. And we ask that you guide us through the rest of this celebration. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now we have Dave's choice of song now, Lord of the Church, we pray for your renewing. We were going to cut the cake, but it's so heavy to move, and I think it would be a bit dangerous. If you haven't seen the cake, please do look at it. And after the song, Alistair will give the blessing, and then Graham will come and tell us what we're going to do about food. Sorry? Oh, okay. Yeah, okay then. Yeah. Well, we're... So while we're singing then, you're going to wheel it in. Okay, that's brilliant. Okay, thank you.
you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Amen.
Well, thank you everybody for your part you've played this afternoon. Thank you particularly to Senga and to Steph for the music. And a couple of things I'd like to add now. I wasn't going to say this before, but I've got my confidence now. So on the front of the thing where it's on the anniversary programme, it says 3 till 5. Well, of course, that was before the food is served at 5. And if we'd have finished early, you'd have had to go outside in the rain while we moved the chairs around. So there's a purpose behind everything. But there's two people I want to thank. One is Don for that magnificent floral display. And just reiterating on what Judy said, we were in a bit of a mess at the start of the year. We didn't know what the way was forward was. But the leadership team has strengthened and we've gone forward and we are still going forward. One thing that Alistair said to us when we first met in January, I think it was, he said, don't concentrate entirely on Henry leaving. Find a different focus. And we said then that our focus for this year, up to July, would be on the anniversary weekend. And we've put an awful lot of time and effort in organising it. And we do indeed thank you all so much for coming and being with us. And the other people I want to thank while I'm up here, I was put in place to appoint visiting speakers, not having a pastor. And I think we've got five, I hope I've got it right, I think we've got five visiting speakers with us today. We've got Chris, we've got David Horn, we've got Chris who spoke to us earlier, Stephen who spoke to us earlier, we've got John Roper, not really a visiting speaker, but he fills in the gap when we need him. Thank you so much, John, and thank you, Jenny. Thank you most of all for Graham Cook and the work that they've done to help this church go forward this year. It's been staggering and gratefully received. Thank you. Thank you to you. Thank you to Tom. Thank you to Charlie. Thank you to... Who's the visiting... the trustee.
Barry Young.
And Barry Young and Norman's here as well. Just finally, I'm on a roll now. As Judy said, she was baptised here. I was baptised here and I was also married here, and I really miss Linda not being with us today. But with us today we've got Sue Brown, and Sue played the piano at her wedding 54 years ago. She told me she's retired. That was her reaching the peak. I don't believe that. Thank you, Sue.
What about the dog?
It's been very quiet, hasn't it? Okay, yeah, well, thank you. But now... Oh, yes, the offering box is in the hall. As we said earlier, it's for the pantry and it's for Torch. So it's for work in the community. So please give generously if you can. Now for the... Dave and Alistair are now going to cut the cake. Yes. That would probably take us up to 5 o'clock.
We only pretend. I can pretend to cut the cake.
Dave, don't make it last too long.
This looks vicious.
This is the closest we've been for years.
Thank you so much. Now, the organisation, while we change the room around...